Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good morning and welcome to Cosmic Influence, the show that explores the possibility that ancient civilizations may have been correct in their belief that history moves in a great cycle with high ages of enlightenment and low ages of darkness. My name is Walter Cruttenden and I'm here along with my co-host Jeff Bettino, and we'll be exploring some of the myth, folklore, archaeology, and astronomy of cyclical theory and examine its causes, including stellar influences. Jeff and I work here at the Binary Research Institute. We are an archaeoastronomy think tank located in Newport Beach, California. Over the last several years, we've been researching the binary theory, which is the very ancient idea that our sun has a partner star. And as we move around this star, orbit around this star, it indirectly produces a change in consciousness, one that causes these great cycles of history that Plato called the Great Year. Almost every ancient culture seemed to have a belief or folklore about this cycle, and there's an increasing amount of scientific evidence that indicates it might be true. So we're going to explore some of that evidence and have some guests that also talk about these issues.
And hi, I'm Jeff Bettino, and thanks again for joining us. If at any point during the show you'd like more information about the Binary Research Institute or Walter's book, Lost Star of Myth and Time, visit our website, www.loststarbook.com.
So, jump in here, Jeff. We have a guest coming on today who's a very special person, appeared with us at our last two conferences on precession and ancient knowledge, and maybe you can tell our listeners about him.
Sure. John Major Jenkins is an author. He's written 9 books, dozens of articles, and he specializes in Mayan cosmology and philosophy. As you know, Walter, the Mayan calendar is one of the most complex calendars ever created, especially in the ancient world. And Mayan cosmology was intimately tied to their belief in world ages and epochs, and that was tied to their knowledge of astronomy, specifically the motion of the precession of the equinox.
And for those of you that may not be familiar with precession, since that will be a central theme on this show, just a brief explanation. If the precession of the equinox is really a very ancient term, and yet it's also something that's observed by modern-day astronomers and astrophysicists. But the individual can view it just by simply looking east on the day of the equinox. That's the first day of spring or first day of fall, when the day and night are of equal length. And let's say you're sitting on the Great Pyramid looking east at the sunrise. A few thousand years ago, you would have seen Aries there at sunrise. And around the time of Christ, you might have seen Pisces just coming into view. And now Aquarius is just coming into view. Thus, the modern reference to the dawning of the age of Aquarius has to do with this great movement, this precession of the equinox.
And this movement was something that ancient cultures throughout the world noticed and built belief systems around. And almost universally, they all built a system of world ages around the motion of precession, which I think, like you said, takes about 24,000 years. And when I'm talking about ancient cultures, we're talking about Hopi, Mayan, ancient Egyptian, ancient Greek, Vedic Indians, even the Chinese.
Yes, and many of these are outlined in a fabulous book. It's called Hamlet's Mill, written by Giorgio de Santayana. Giorgio was the professor of the history of science at MIT, and he, along with Hertha von Deschen, she held a similar post at a German university, wrote this in-depth book, 700 pages, where they've documented over 30 ancient cultures. And these aren't just your Mediterranean, Egyptian, Minoan, Mesopotamian cultures. These also include anything from Polynesian to Nordic cultures that all seem to be watching the skies and talking about this great year in one way or another, saying that there were the golden ages and the cycle. And of course, we were taught in school that there is no golden age. There was no golden age. But we hope to show evidence that there really was.
Yes, definitely, because there is a lot of evidence that we'll be getting into, especially as this show goes on and as the whole series goes on in general.
And we're going to have a lot of other guests, too. So John Major Jenkins is our guest today, but we will also have on the program Graham Hancock, John Anthony West.
Physicist John Daring.
And these are all people that have presented at the conference that we hold each year.
So we will be right back in just a moment.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cruttenden, and with my host here, co-host Jeff Patino, and we will now be introducing our guest, John Major Jenkins.
Yes, John, welcome to the program.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, Walter. I'm very honored to be here this morning.
It's an honor to have you. We're thrilled to have you on the show. Your research, stands for itself. I know you've written 9 books. Your latest one was Pyramid of Fire. And just for our listeners, you also wrote Galactic Alignment and Maya Cosmogenesis 2012. And I know your specialty is Mayan cosmology and philosophy, especially in the area of precession and galactic alignment. How did you first get involved in this area of research?
Well, it was about, going on 20 years ago now that I first took a trip down to Mexico and Guatemala. And I had read a few books by that time. Frank Waters' Mexico Mystique, excuse me, was one that really piqued my curiosity about traveling into some of the areas where I had read that the Maya people still lived. And in the process of a couple of years, I kept returning and doing different service projects and living and working with the Maya up there in the highlands of Guatemala, the Quiché Maya and the different Mayan groups like that, very traditional groups. I realized that many of their calendar traditions had survived, and I just kept doing some research, and I started to realize that there were many unanswered questions in Mayan cosmology.
And what sorts of things really intrigued you most about the myth and folklore of this culture?
Well, I've always had an interest in astronomy, and so I had a sensitivity to the literature that I was reading where they would talk about the Maya creation myth, and then they'd have some reference to how, like, maybe a Mayan deity had some kind of astronomical reference as well. And so this was interesting to me, how the myth and the astronomy was going together. And then when I read Hamlet's Mill, the book that you mentioned, which was really a breakthrough in so many ways, generally that book really presented the important information that ancient mythology is sort of the technical language of a lost ancient astronomical cosmological science.
I hear you. That book really moved and impressed me, too, although I don't recall reading anything in there about the Maya.
Oh, there was a couple of brief mentions of it. That the book was written in the late 60s, Hamlet's Mill, and there's been so many breakthroughs in Mayan archaeoastronomy and so on since then that we can certainly add a lot to that.
Well, let's get into it then. You know, we know that the Maya kept many different types of calendars, but what we're most interested in is their you know, long cycle count. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. The long count calendar of the Maya is this system that's made up of different periods of time that are nestled together. You have the 20-day period and the 360-day period, and then there's a 20-year period and so on. So basically what you have is this date-keeping method, and archaeologists have found these long-count dates carved into monuments and so on. So the thing about the long-count calendar is that there's this period of 13 baktuns, which is one world age. And Jeff had mentioned earlier how it's quite apparent that many ancient traditions had world age doctrines. And as Hamlet's Mill pointed out, when you find a world age doctrine, you can bet that the procession of the equinoxes is lurking in the background there somewhere. So this period of 13 baktuns is some 5,125 years. And this was a key for me to do some very, very pointed research in reconstructing how the long count calendar relates to the precession of the equinoxes.
Did they make a specific reference to a precession, or how do we know that they were aware of it?
Well, this is in the realm of the new discipline of archaeoastronomy, which is, of course, the blend of archaeological research on buildings and alignments of temple sites and so on, and astronomy, how these buildings and temple sites are, you know, pointed and oriented in certain ways to rising positions of stars and so on. Basically, the research of an archaeologist named Marion Popenoe Hatch, she researched early pre-Maya sites. The Olmec people, the Olmec civilization predated the Mayan civilization in Mexico, and she researched the site La Venta, and this was experiencing its heyday around 1200 BC, and over many years of archaeological work at the site, she realized for some reason the main axis of the temple buildings was being torn down and reorientated a few degrees to the east. And this happened three times, and she wondered why they would do that. And what she realized is that in the north, in the direction that the temples were oriented to, the Big Dipper, the stars of the Big Dipper would rise. And she realized that with the precession of the equinoxes, the Big Dipper had been rising further and further east along the horizon. So she did the measurements, and she found out very specific information, you know, about how it was quite apparent to her that precession was something, even at, say, 1200 BC, precession was something that the Olmec sky watchers were aware of and they were adjusting for with their temple buildings.
That's fascinating, especially since we've seen that in other cultures as well. The Egyptians were known to tear down and rebuild temples to keep them in alignment with stars over hundreds of years as well.
Yes, and theologically, you might say, they just felt that they needed to be correctly oriented to the larger cosmos.
Well, clearly they're aware that the stars move if they're doing that.
Yes.
You mentioned Olmec. You know, I've read that the Olmec were quite advanced. Of course, we know very little about them compared to the Maya. Where is the line between those two cultures?
Well, chronologically, the line is somewhat indistinct. It's quite apparent that the major Olmec sites were fading by 900 BC, And the Mayan civilization really doesn't start coming into its own until about 200 AD. But between those two civilizations, you had this interim culture called the Izapin civilization. Michael Coe, the great Mayan archaeologist, he calls it a civilization. And so in this thousand-year period between the Olmec and the Maya, you had this Izapa culture that was centered on the amazing ceremonial sites of Izapa in southern Mexico.
And I understand you've visited there, I guess, several times?
Well, yes. In fact, Izapa is a key to understanding the Long Count calendar because that is the place that the Long Count calendar system was invented.
That's fascinating. And like you said, the Long Count calendar is tied to precession. And how does the Long Count calendar tie to the 2012 end date that we've all heard so much about?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's well known in scholarly circles that this period of 13 baktuns, which is one world age, and so this calendar relates to the Maya creation mythology through the doctrine of the world ages. Scholars have been able to figure out how the dates in the Long Count system correlate to our own calendar system. This was a concern of Maya scholars for many, many decades, and it's called the correlation question. They figured it out by 1950, and so they can date with accuracy the end of this 13 baktun period, and it falls on December 21st of the year 2012. So this is where the 2012 date comes from that people are becoming more and more aware of.
Right. Of course, that's the winter solstice. Is that how they kept some of their calendars in relation then to astronomical coordinates like the solstice or equinox?
Yes, yes, exactly. The equinoxes and the solstices, especially the December solstice, because it's kind of like the primary seasonal quarter of the year. As we know, the solstices and equinoxes shift slowly through the sky with the precession phenomenon.
Right.
So it was quite striking to me when I read that the end date falls on the accurate winter solstice, and yet there was a great unanswered question as to why this would be. And that became the launching off point for my own reconstruction work on the question of why the Maya picks 2012 to end this vast cycle of time.
And why is that the Maya picked 2012?
Yeah, it's really fascinating. It's because there's a very rare alignment in the cycle of precession. You know, how basically Hamlet's Mill was an amazing book, and it really pioneered some of these ideas. One of the key ideas in Hamlet's Mill, of course, is that the skies shift, and ancient cultures knew about this. And we know that the equinox moves into a new sign in the zodiac. But what the Maya were looking at is the relationship of this shifting process to the bright band of the Milky Way that we can all see stretching overhead on a dark midsummer night. To the Maya, this Milky Way in the sky was kind of like a big marker in the sky against which they could track precession. So what's been happening for thousands of years is that the December solstice sun has been shifting with precession in relation to background features such as stars or the constellations or the Milky Way. And the Maya noticed that the solstice sun was shifting slowly, slowly, slowly towards the Milky Way. And what we have occurring in the years around 2012 is the galactic alignment. It's the alignment of the solstice sun with the bright band of the Milky Way that astronomers call the galactic equator.
Right. Of course, you know, the Milky Way is very visible in dark skies, which the Maya had, but would they actually have known where the galactic center was?
Oh, yeah, this is one of the fascinating things about this research, is because the nuclear bulge of the galactic center is between the constellations Sagittarius and Scorpio. So every year the sun comes around and aligns with it. But it's only in the years around 2012 that the December solstice sun lines up with the nuclear bulge or the galactic center part of the Milky Way. So that's why it's such a rare thing. As to the question of how the Maya could have known this, well, it's basically naked eye observation. When naked eye sky watchers would look up at the sky, they would notice that the part of the Milky Way that contains the galactic center was brighter and contained more bright stars, and it was wider. So in their sort of mythic imagination, they saw it as the womb of the great sky goddess, the Milky Way sky mother. So they actually accurately mythologized the thing, whether that was intuitively or they had some kind of deeper insight into what that place really was, because it is, after all, a source point and a center point of our galaxy. They seem to have gotten it right, because we see it quite clearly in their mythology.
And, of course, modern astronomers have only recently realized that that is the actual center of our galaxy. But we'll hold that thought for a moment as we need to go to a break. We'll be right back with John Major Jenkins.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Crittenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Crittenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. Earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. My name is Walter Crittenden. I'm here with my co-host, Jeff Patino, and our special guest today, John Major Jenkins. John is the author of Galactic Alignment, as well as Maya Cosmogenesis 2012. John,
yes.
Tell us, we were talking about the galactic center, and NASA has only recently discovered, what was it, in the 1970s, that the bulge is where the galactic center is, where this big black hole in the center of our galaxy is?
Yeah, it's fascinating. Astrophysicists, they've only recently come to a precise awareness of the nature of the galactic center, and they've been mapping it out and so on, and I've been tracking that. You see a lot of new information about piercing the veils of the veils of interstellar dust that obscure telescopes from really seeing what's in there. And of course, one theory, and they think they've proved it now, is that there is a black hole in the center of our galaxy. They believe that there are many galaxies out there, and they can observe those, and most galaxies are spiral shaped like ours, although there are some different types of galaxies out there. With the idea that there's a black hole in the center of our Milky Way galaxy, well, that's really fascinating because physicists and quantum mechanics seem so dense that light cannot even escape from it.
That the Maya 2012 date, where the solstice sun crosses the galactic center, that is so close to NASA's estimate that we only recently discovered in modern times. Where does NASA put the window? I think you wrote about this in one of your books.
Oh, in terms of the precise calculations?
Yes.
Yeah, I looked into this because it's important, because what I was trying to show was that, we have two things. We have this era of the galactic alignment, and then we have this end date to this vast cycle of time in the Maya calendar, 2012. So how close are those two things, really? Well, basically what we have is a very precise calculation for the alignment of the solstice point, which is the exact middle of the sun, and it aligning with the galactic equator. And that would be the astronomer's term for the precise sort of dotted line that runs down the Milky Way, the middle of the Milky Way. These are very precise astronomical terms, and of course there's some degree of ambiguity that one would think there should be a plus or minus, range for the calculation. The astronomer, Jean Mius, in his book Mathematical Astronomy Morsels, made the calculation, and he came up with late 1998. Now, the Mayan end date is 2012, so of course there's a difference of 14 years there. Now, there's a couple of ways that I respond to this. One is that, well, basically what we're looking at is the long count calendar was put into place some 2,000 years ago. And if the thesis is true that the long count calendar's end date was designed to target this galactic alignment, well, that's a 2,000-year forward calculation in precession. And if there's only a 14-year error, well, that's pretty amazing, to have been an achievement of the ancient Maya.
Especially since the rate of precession is something that even today astronomers are constantly recalculating.
Exactly, exactly. And the other thing, too, is that these are sort of abstract astronomical terms that are being used to make the calculation. And if we're going to talk about a reasonable range for the galactic alignment, we have to allow that the sun itself is half a degree wide, and half a degree of precessional motion is 36 years. So what I proposed is taking the accurate zero-point calculation of 1998 and making a plus or minus 18 years for the range. So we end up with a galactic alignment range of 1980 to the year 2016. And so the 2012 date does fall into that range, and so we can say with absolute truth that the solstice sun will be aligning with the galactic equator in 2012.
Well, any way you look at it, it's amazing that the ancient Mayan civilization could have come so close to calculating such an event.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And knowing that they calculated this so far in advance, and obviously this end date in their calendar was very important, what sort of mythology did they have tied to this, to the 2012 end date?
Well, thanks for pointing it in that direction, Jeff, because that's really what I put on the table that's unique about my own research, because I didn't feel comfortable just making a general assertion that there might be something going on here based upon the possible just a coincidence that the 2012 date and the galactic alignment were happening in the same time. So what I did is I delved deeply into the mythology and different Mayan traditions like the sacred ball game, for example. Let me just sketch this real quick. The sacred ball game of the Maya involves kicking the game ball into the goal ring. And if we look at the iconography and the symbolism of the ball game, we see that the game ball is the sun, and the goal ring in the ball court is the center of the galaxy. And we see this because the ball courts are like the Milky Way, and there's a whole set of iconographic evidence that helps us understand that the ball game is a metaphor for this alignment process that culminates in 2012. And in addition to that, there's the Maya creation myth in general. Basically, this is about the resurrection of the Hero Twins' father. And the Hero Twins' father, his name is Wanhunapu, and his astronomical identity is the December solstice sun. So the rebirth of the December solstice sun at the end of the creation myth, which is describing the events that take place at the end of this world age, which would be 2012, they are also describing the astronomical process. And, of course, this just goes back to that principle that was pioneered by Hamlet's Mill, that astronomy and mythology go together.
This is fascinating, and we're going to keep talking with John Major Jenkins about Mayan cosmology and the mythology that they had tied to that as soon as we come back.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Cruttenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors. And their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now, it even gets better than that. Because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Cruttenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
ByRegion.net is the largest healing arts directory on the web. Our visitors are looking for holistic practitioners, schools, events, healing services, and products. Are you in healing arts? Become a member of ByRegion.net and get the best advertising values. You can increase your client base and your traffic. If you have a website, we can bring you more traffic. Want a website? Get a beautiful web display for only $4 a month. Become a member now. Mention HealthyLife.net and get 6 months free. Visit www.byregion.net or call 828-232-0016.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Well,
welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cruttenden with my co-host Jeff Pitino, and we are talking with John Major Jenkins, author of Maya Cosmogenesis 2012. John, welcome back.
Hi, Walter.
We were just starting to get into some of the mythology and symbology related to 2012. Can you tell us a little bit about what other people believe about this date, as well as how that ties to some of the symbols?
Well, I'm kind of unique in the field of study because I believed it was important to go to the original sort of primary source material on the question, which I have identified as the monuments of Azapa. Azapa is the origin place of the long count calendar that gives us the 2012 end date, and so the monuments of Azapa are, they're really a good place to gain an understanding of what the original message is. I think that other writers are maybe tuning into 2012 in an intuitive way, in the sense that it is the end of a cycle, and there are certain messages or teachings that are, you know, important to embrace during cycle endings. One thing that I've heard that I think is really a profound thing is that during cycle endings, there's a lot of transformation and there's a lot of changes going on. There's people talk about, you know, a transformation of consciousness and so on. And there's certain psychological dynamics that, you know, can emerge from that. And one thing is that in the face of these kind of difficult times, or any time in life, really, when we're faced with a difficult thing, we can choose to respond in two ways. And one way would be fear, you know, clamping down and closing up, or opening up, which I'd say love, fear versus love. Love would be like opening up and trusting in the process that's going on.
I think, you know, that's very important. That's what it's all about. But when we hear other people talk about 2012, I often hear doom and gloom, the world's going to end. And, you know, what I'm really interested in, and I think what some of the listeners are interested in, is what exactly did the Maya say about this, and, you know, what authority do we have there?
And maybe what was their overall belief in epochs and ages? I know the Hopi had a real view that there was a distant past golden age, and that there had been ages of the sun where civilization had slowly collapsed. Did the Maya have a similar view?
Yeah. Let's get into that, because that's really fascinating. First of all, yes, there are other writers that are writing about 2012 from the vantage point of doomsday, and to be honest, I think that probably a great majority of this kind of writing is not really exploring the question in a very thorough or sophisticated way. Basically, they're just going for, it's showbiz. You know, it's a good marketing angle for a book that they're writing. Now, if you really look at the Mayan information, which is the creation myth on world ages, the Maya creation myth sketches how there were previous world ages. And at the end of each one of these ages, humanity, there was not a final end to things. There was a transformation, and humanity had to transform themselves into something else in order to move into the new world age. I think that's a really profound level of the teaching that we can all sort of embrace, is that it's about conscious transformation so that we can become citizens of the next world age.
You know, and that's what we pick up, too, in studying other cultures. The Greek, the Vedic Indian, they're not talking about the end of the world as much as they're talking about the character of the different ages, that it's a change that mankind goes through. And we see it as sort of different epochs in civilization, but it's really a change in consciousness that manifests as different civilizations.
Exactly, yes. And As you were alluding to, there are ups and downs in the process, and this gets into the cyclic nature of things. We live in an ocean of cycles of different lengths. There's the day cycle, the moon cycle, the year cycle, and this vast cycle of the precession of the equinoxes. And one of the characteristics of cycles is that they can be divided into two halves. Like the day, for example, has increasing darkness as we approach midnight, and then we turn the corner, and then there's that half of the day that is moving towards increasing light. And I think this is a real interesting insight into the cyclic processes, and it really touches upon insights in ancient Hindu beliefs and so on.
Right. Yes. The Hindu, from everything we've read, teach that about 500 AD, we find evidence, you know, going back 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years before this, of a great culture that exists all over the planet. Ancient Egypt, ancient Mesopotamia, Sumer seems to be quite high, declines a little to Akkad, declines further to Babylon, and then declines to dust. Same thing in the Indus Valley and throughout much of the rest of the Mediterranean cultures. And then, you know, even Rome is a more brutal civilization than Greece before it, and that Greece had democracy, and in ancient Rome they're crucifying people in the street. And it looks, too, like the Maya culture, you know, fell. Maybe the dates aren't exact, but, you know, a little bit later, it also had a very brutal period, and then an absolute, you know, wipeout from the face of the earth. And then we have the Renaissance, and things seem to be coming back up since then.
And the one key thing with all of this that's really needs to be understood is that the precession cycle is behind all this. This is anchored to the precessional cycle in the same way that there's different energy dynamics throughout the year with the seasons. In other words, precession defines these seasons in the vast period of, some people say it's 24,000 years, some people say it's 26,000 years. Regardless, there's this seasonal, I would call it like galactic seasons, and it's all sort of defined by the energy dynamics that happen as we come into alignment with the galaxy in different ways over this vast period of time.
Well, we'll talk about the character of some of those seasons and exactly what they might have been like, and maybe about what sort of period we may be coming into right after the break.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Cruttenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Cruttenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time, in a bookstore near you.
In college, I took a lot of history and liberal arts classes, and frankly, I don't remember much of any of it. But as an adult, I find myself engrossed in fascinating programs on the A&E and History Channel. They've pretty much helped me to be pretty impressive at social functions, and I just found out today that I can purchase DVDs of my favorite A&E and History Channel programs right through HealthyLife.net. You should visit HealthyLife.net and order your favorite A&E and History Channel program DVDs as well, and then discover how many people you can impress during your next social occasion.
For all your live or pre-recorded webcasting needs, come to earthchannel.com. Get your web-based message out to a select group or the whole world. It's easy. A pioneer in webcasting, earthchannel.com provides the best products and services to big corporations and government users. And now, this same technology is available to you. They have the best earthcast encoders, servers, and products to meet your technical needs. But wait, don't want to mess with technical stress? No problem. They'll do it for you. Earthchannel.com is your answer. You can use webcasting for lots of things, like advertising, marketing, customer support, training, and don't forget, web radio and TV. In fact, you're listening to a live Earthcast right now, so come to earthchannel.com. Actualize your audio or video webcasting needs today. You can't beat the friendly service or the price. Call earthchannel.com at 800-849-8978. That's 800-849-8978.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cruttenden with my co-host Jeff Pitino, and we are talking with John Major Jenkins, author of Maya Cosmogenesis 2012. And we were just talking about the different character of the ages that the world seems to go through. And John, I wanted to start off with Jeff reading a quote here of what the Greeks and the Hopi had said about the character of the very highest ages, the Golden Age.
Yeah. Okay. Because the parallels, I think, are fascinating. This is what we were alluding to in the last segment. Hesiod, the Greek poet and scholar who lived about 700 BC, wrote in Works and Days, and speaking of the Golden Age, he said, "Men lived like gods with carefree heart, remote from toil and misery. Wretched old age did not affect them either." And then he goes on to say, "All good things were theirs, and the grain-giving soil bore its fruits of its own accord in unstinted plenty, while they at leisure harvested their fields in contentment amid abundance." And I think it's really fascinating because if you look at the Hopi creation mythology, it says, "They felt as one and understood each other without talking. It was the same with the birds and the animals. They all suckled at the breast of their mother earth, who gave them milk of grass, seeds, fruit, and corn, and they felt as one, people and animals." It really sounds like they're both talking about this perfect age. And it's something that we also see in Egyptian mythology and Vedic Indian mythology.
Completely different cultures from all around the world in the very ancient past are talking about this wonderful time, this golden age. And, you know, I was recently reading the work of Stefan Mall, who spoke at the Stanford Presidential Lecture Series, and he's one of the foremost Assyrianologists. And he was talking about some of these cuneiform texts that they'd found and how the ancient Babylonians were just glorifying the past and almost all the time and fearing the future. And indeed, they were living in a descending age, and of course their whole civilization ended up coming apart.
Yes, I believe that the Golden Age can manifest if and when we connect our consciousness up to that higher transcendent wisdom. And I think that the alignment to the galactic center that's happening in the years around 2012 is a great opportunity for that, because it is, after all, the time in the precession cycle when we are lining up with the center and source, at least in our local neighborhood.
Could well be. We're trying to do a lot of research on over at our own institute, the Binary Research Institute, about what might cause this rise and fall and the changes of consciousness and why This is tied to the precession cycle, and as you know, we have this binary theory that some ancient cultures talked about, that our sun has a partner star, and it's our motion around this star that produces the observable we see as the precession of the equinox, and indirectly causes this rise and fall in consciousness. And our best guess, as the sun carries the Earth closer to another star, we are affected by the electromagnetic field of that other star, and that affects our ionosphere, magnetosphere, and indirectly consciousness here on Earth. And there's a whole body of work we're starting to read on the Internet that supports some of this, which we don't have time to get into right now.
But we will be in future shows.
Definitely.
Yeah, and I have developed a really good link to a website that's off of my website that illustrates the precession and the galactic alignments. And my website is alignment2012.com, and viewers can go there and check out how that process works.
Okay, alignment2012.com. We'll be sure to check that out.
Now, John, where does Mayan mythology say we're going to beyond 2012, and what does that mean for us in our lives today? What does that mean for humanity?
Well, it's Mayan mythology as well as the dynamics of this galactic alignment, because the Mayan mythology would say that the transformation brings a new birth into a new world age, so that it's all about the growth period and, you know, the work that we do to define what the new age is going to be like. The dynamics of the astronomy suggest, as I've pointed out, that the Milky Way kind of like runs through the high noon and the midnight hour. So the Milky Way sort of is like the starting point of the clock, and then the December solstice is kind of like the hour hand. So when the hour hand comes around to hit 12, that's sort of like the cycle starts over again. And that's just sort of looking at the dynamics of the astronomy from one particular point of view.
Well, we're certainly hopeful that we are indeed in an ascending age, and things can start over on a more positive note as we move into the future here.
Definitely, definitely. And I think we definitely are heading in that direction. We can see it, especially with the way the world has been going just over the past few hundred years. There is definitely that upward trend coming out of the Dark Ages.
Well, I think so, definitely. And it's also the individual work that each one of us does, because what I've been able to sort of determine looking at the stone monuments of Azap is that there is a teaching and there is a prophecy, and it's all about how we learn to connect our individual egos with the larger divine picture. So, you know, meditation and the work that we do to connect ourselves to the larger picture, that's all going to contribute to the ascending age and our movement into eras of greater light.
You make a good point. The this precessional cycle, the motion of our solar system through space, might take us into a certain era where things, you know, like winter, summer, maybe they're harder to live or easier to live. But it's ultimately up to us to do the things we need to do to lift our own consciousness and work together to make a better world.
Yes, it's always about free will, but ultimately I think the universe is trying to evolve us. You know, we are something the universe is doing. We just need to open up to the energies of transformation.
We totally concur. But unfortunately, we're out of time, and I want to thank you, John, for being on the show today, and also thank our listeners for tuning in to Cosmic Influence, and we hope you will join us next month.
Lost Star of Myth and Time by Walter Cruttenden is the hot new bestseller, stirring controversy with a new view of ancient history. Graham Hancock calls the evidence in this epic book the key to the mystery of the ages. Where is present-day civilization headed? What did the ancients know about the cosmos? Do stellar influences affect consciousness and the rise and fall of civilization? Lost Star of Myth and Time answers these questions and more. Lost Star of Myth and Time at a bookstore near you.
If you are interested in the topics discussed on today's show, you'll want to see Walter Cruttenden's award-winning film, The Great Year, narrated by James Earl Jones. Why do civilizations fall and rise again? What did the ancients say about the cycle of the ages? The Great Year explores the possibility that the rise and fall of human culture might be related to our sun's motion around a companion star. Find out more about the celestial mechanics that bring higher ages of enlightenment and learn where we are today in this grand cycle of time. It's a message of hope and inspiration and answers many questions about the greatest enigmas of human history. Order the DVD today at thegreatyear.com. That's www.thegreatyear.com. www.thegreatyear.com.
What does HealthyLife.net and Amazon.com have in common? Well, they're both available on the internet. They both give great value. But most important, most of our positive program hosts and guests are accomplished authors. And their books are available from, you got it, Amazon.com. Now it even gets better than that. Because when you're listening on air to a HealthyLife.net host or guest, you can go directly to Amazon.com and you can order your book while you're still listening to your favorite HealthyLife.net program. So when you hear an author you like, go to the homepage of HealthyLife.net and click on Amazon.com.
Welcome back to Cosmic Influence. I'm Walter Cruttenden with my co-host Jeff Pitino, and we've just been listening to John Major Jenkins talk about the Maya culture and 2012, its meaning and importance. And for more information, you have those websites?
Yeah. For more information on the show, please visit our website, www.loststarbook.com. We hope you've enjoyed the program, and we hope you'll join us for future episodes. We've got Graham Hancock, John Anthony West, physicist John Daring, just to name a few in upcoming episodes. We'll really be exploring a lot of the things that, Walter, that you talk about in the book, Lost Star of Myth and Time.
So with that, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to Cosmic Influence, and we hope that you will join us again for our next episode.